Welcome to Kidmen Talk, the weekly webcast from Kidology.org, coming to you, well, however you want it to, right on the website or right to your mobile device and completely free. It's like a Kidmen conference that comes to you. No airfare, no rental car, no lodging, no lines, no box lunches, and no registration fees. Just free, equipping, and encouraging wherever you are and whenever you want. Talking about the stuff that you want to talk about. Because remember, you can shape the show by letting me know what your needs and interests are via Twitter at Kidmen Talk, by email to carl@kidmentalk.com, and in the forum discussions that are linked to each and every show. My name is Carl Bastian, a.k.a. The Kidologist, and my passion is helping those who help kids come to know Jesus and grow in their walk with Him. So let's talk Kidmen. Well, if you have been following along in this podcast this year, the many, many months of this school year, you have been following along with our Kidmen keywords. And boy, have we had a great time guessing and suggesting Kidmen keywords for every letter of the alphabet. And I have so enjoyed the camaraderie and the fun and the guessing and the suggestions and the humor. And it has been tough to select just one word. In fact, a couple times I've cheated and I've had a couple different words. Well, we have come to the end of the alphabet. In fact, I am kind of cheating this week because I am just combining X, Y, Z. I didn't want to do a podcast just on the letter X and just on the letter Z. And so I just said, hey, we're gonna put X, Y, and Z all together. In fact, I know it's a challenge because I got very few guesses or suggestions for X, Y, and Z, although I got a couple of good ones there. I mean, Jackie, examine your zoo monkeys. Calling the kids monkeys, Jackie, you should know better than that. But I love what she was trying to get at. She talked about asking, you know, those great questions. Are they really being changed? Are they just wanting the fun, or are their lives really being changed? And we've talked about that over the year. Evaluating your ministry. Are you making disciples, really taking a hard look at what you're doing? And so, Jackie, that was fantastic. And then Amy, she talked about and suggested with the letter Z. She had a couple goofy ones there, but she suggested the word zealous for Z, and she came the closest. And so I'm just going to give both of them a prize, and I'll contact you off the air about what your great prize is, because I don't want to waste the time here on the show. But I'm going to go with something that I used to say when I was a kid all the time. In fact, there was a time when I was little that I used to tell my sisters that I could say the alphabet faster than anybody. And I really believed I was saying the whole alphabet. And I would say it this fast. Are you ready for this? You might have to, you know, take this MP3 if you downloaded it and slow it down to hear the entire alphabet. But I'm going to do it for you right now. It goes just like this. A, B, C, T, X, Y, Z. A, B, C, T, X, Y, Z. I was saying, of course, A, B, C, T, X, Y, Z, and I really believed at this very young age, I forget how old I was, that I was saying the entire alphabet quickly as I rattled off A, B, C, T, X, Y, Z. So it kind of became a family joke, and they finally convinced me that I was not actually saying the entire alphabet, that I was skipping, you know, just a few letters there. But in my little mind, you know, I was hearing every letter in my brain because I just thought I was so fast. Now, of course, we've all heard, you know, X, Y, Z as a little suggestion when somebody's zipper's down. You know, X, Y, Z, examine your zipper. I was surprised that nobody suggested examine your zipper. Well, that's probably because, you know, it really doesn't have anything to do with children's ministry. Although I do have a pastor friend that I'm not going to mention by name on the show because I don't want to embarrass him, but he was candidating for his ministry position, actually a senior pastor position, and the entire time he was preaching in front of one of those clear podiums, you know, those new fancy clear podiums, wearing black slacks and white underwear, his zipper was down. He did not know this, obviously. His poor wife sitting out there, she knew, but she was mortified, and she was trying to signal, you know, and somehow notify him, but he was oblivious to this. The entire church was, of course, embarrassed for him, and he was kind of a big guy, and so that zipper was just wide open. He just was oblivious, and he's a very lovable guy, and he was just preaching his heart out, wanting to get this job, and had no idea that he just had a big white spot right there in the front of himself. It just was an embarrassing moment for everybody, of course, except for the person that it should have been embarrassing for, which was him. And of course, finally the sermon came to an end, and everybody in the audience was red except him, who should have been red. Of course, he never noticed any of that. And so finally later, his wife said, Oh, honey, your zipper was down the entire time you were preaching. Of course, he was just mortified. He never wanted to go back to that church again and face all these people who had seen him up in front of the church preaching with his zipper down. But lo and behold, the church did call him back. They loved him, which is no surprise to me. He was a great guy. And they called him as their pastor. And at the installation service, when they called him, of course, nobody said anything about the zipper incident. He kind of wondered if maybe they hadn't noticed, which was ridiculous. Everybody had noticed. They actually presented him with a plaque with a zipper on the plaque. So any hope or doubt that he had that they had not noticed the zipper was shattered at that moment. And they just had light of the fact that he had indeed preached with his zipper down during his candidating weekend. Well, I'm going to add to the... So my Aunt Linda, I should say, when I was a little kid, she had added ABCTXYZ because of my little family joke, had added, always be careful to examine your zipper. So anytime we were going out to eat or going to church or something, we had this little family joke, and it was ABCTXYZ, and that meant always be careful to examine your zipper, which is some pretty good advice. That's anytime you're going out. Well, we're going to go with ABCTXYZ, but instead of zipper, all right, which is important. You don't want to be going to church with your zipper down, guys, especially, and ladies, of course, if you're not wearing a dress, although you might have zippers on the back or somewhere else, but we're not really going there. This is a family-friendly podcast. We're going to change the word zipper to zeal. We are going to say you need to always be careful to examine your zeal. You know, one of my favorite Bible verses in Scripture is Romans 12:11. Now, it's not my life verse. My life verse is Acts 20:24, and it's a close tie with Jeremiah 29:11. And I'm not going to quote them. You probably know those verses, or you can look up on your own time. But the verse I want to, that is my theme verse for my kids' crew, that I make my kids memorize, and it's our theme verse as we serve the Lord, is Romans 12:11, and it says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." You know, we never want to be serving the Lord out of a sense of duty. We never want to be serving the Lord out of a ho-hum attitude. We never want to look bored. We never want to be complaining. We never want to be whining. We never want to be dragging our feet. We never want to be doing it because we've been made to do it. No, we want to be serving God with zeal. And I always explain to these kids that the word zeal, you know, is the same word that's in a zealot. And you know what a zealot is, man? Those are those maniac people that will, like, die. I mean, they'll, like, strap themselves with bombs or run and murder someone. You know, and we don't want to do that. But a zealot is like a crazy person, right? And that's how we should be serving God, like a crazy person. Never be lacking in zeal, all right? But serve the Lord with spiritual fervor. It says, but keep your spiritual fervor. Now, fervor, boy, that's like from the same root word as when you have a fever. I mean, when you're sick and you're not even well. I mean, people should be looking at the way you serve and think, that person's not well. There's something wrong with them. All right, that's how we want to serve God. So when I teach this verse to the kids, and when we say the verse, we actually have all these crazy hand motions where we act, we can't even say the verse sitting down. It's like not allowed. So it's, you know, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Well, as we all know, as we've been in ministry for a while, it is hard to maintain zeal. All right, let's be honest here. Zeal wears out. I mean, we get exhausted, we get worn out, we leak, and our zeal fades. So how do we maintain that zeal? I mean, how do we always be careful to examine our zeal? All right, not zipper, zeal here. You know, and so I want to use our acronym, all right, for zeal, Z-E-A-L. And I just want to give you four things that you can examine to examine your zeal, all right, so that you can live out Romans 12:11 in your life and your ministry, so that you can keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord and never be lacking in zeal as you serve the Lord. And the first is the letter Z. And I would just say you need to zero in on what matters most. Because what often happens in ministry is we get distracted away from the things that first called us into ministry. I have a workshop that I love teaching and that I do often. I've done it at the Children's Pastors Conference more times than I can remember. I just taught this last weekend at Kids on the Rock Conference in Michigan. And let me just say, if you ever can get a chance to go to the Kids on the Rock Conference in Michigan, it's in Fenton, Michigan, or nearby there, near Flint, not too far away from Flint. It is an amazing conference. I have never been treated like royalty, like they treated me. They just pulled out all the stops. It's an amazing conference. It's kidsontherockconference.com. I was there with Brian Dollar, and he did a fantastic job. And their host, Becky Monte, she is just a fabulous speaker and leads that ministry and spoke with such transparency and honesty about her struggles and mistakes she's made and the things she's learned and how to make your ministry rise. And it was just fabulous and worth flying into. I know they plan it as a local conference, but I mean, it is worth flying in from California, Canada, Florida, you know, from another country to go to that conference. They do a bang up job. I have never seen a small conference done so well. And I mean, it runs into hundreds of people that attend, but I mean, you don't necessarily need to go to one that's got thousands. I would plan to go to Kids on the Rock Conference and make an investment to go. They bring in top-notch speakers, and I'm not saying that because I was there. I'm just saying it's a great speaker. They invest in a great conference. They invest in great speakers, and they really did a great job. But I spoke about this last weekend there, that when we go into ministry, we go into it because we love kids and we have these certain things that we love to do and these certain passions we have, whether it's teaching, whether it's evangelism, whether it's discipleship, whether it's leading kids in worship, you know, and I'll have people share and share with each other or raise their hand and call out. And then what happens is the higher up we get, and I put higher up in quotes because we're servant leaders, we get distracted away from those things by voicemails and administration and forms and recruiting and committees and staff meetings and all these other things. And as we get sucked into all this other stuff, it pulls us away from that first love, those things that we really enjoy doing. And that saps our zeal. We lose that zeal and that spiritual fervor because we're really not doing the things that we love doing, the things that we feel called to do. And I know when I'm not doing what I feel God called me to do, I lose my zeal, I lose my excitement, I lose my joy, I lose my energy, and I can flat out get to where I hate my job. And so you've got to get back to doing what you love doing. You got to zero in on what matters most. It's like that classic story of the professor who came out with a giant plexiglass box and a wheelbarrow full of big rocks, and he had a student fill it till it was full. And he said, "Is the box full?" And he said, "Yeah, it's full now." And then he brought out a wheelbarrow full of stones, and he said, "Ah, you can fit stones in around the big rocks." And so they put the stones in all around till the student said it was full, and said, "Is it full?" And he said, yeah, it's full now. And he said, "Ah." Then he brought out a wheelbarrow full of gravel, and he said, "All right, now fill it up." He goes, "Ah, I get it." So he poured gravel in all around the big stones and around the boulders and the stones and filled it with gravel till the very top of this big clear plexiglass box. He said, "All right, now it's full." He said, "Ah, no, it's not." And he brought out a wheelbarrow full of sand, and the students were amazed how much sand could be poured in around the boulders and the stones and the gravel. By the time it was filled with sand, you couldn't even see the stones and the rocks inside anymore. And finally, they said, "Okay, it's full now." And that's when the professor wheeled in a long garden hose from outside, and they turned on the water, and they poured water, and it poured and poured and poured and poured until finally it overflowed. And I'm sure you've heard this story. And they said, "Okay, now it's full. I mean, there's nothing more you could get into that box now." And he said, "What am I trying to illustrate here if we're talking about time?" And one of these smart students raised his hand and he said, "There's always room in your life for more." He said, "No, not at all. The point of this object lesson is if we hadn't put the big rocks in first, you would never get them in later. And that's what happens in ministry, is our life gets so full of gravel and sand and water and stones that eventually the big rocks don't fit. And the big rocks are the things that you love doing. They're the things that you are zealous about, whether it's discipling kids or doing evangelistic events or whether it's leading kids in worship. It's those things that you truly get out of bed in the morning and love to do. And if you allow the gravel and water and sand of ministry to fill the box of your week to where the stones are left out, you will lose your zeal. So you've got to sometimes dump the box out. And I've literally dumped my office out into a conference room next to my office, completely emptied it and reorganized it, I've done that physically and literally, but you also do it metaphorically, where you've got to schedule right into your calendar those big rocks first, so you make sure that you are doing what matters most. And then some of the gravel, some of the sand, some of the water things, you're just not going to get done. And you got to be content that you're going to be apologizing that some things just don't get done. So that's the Z. Zero in on what matters most. Now the E is encourage others. Now I'm going to be really honest here. I can give in to pity party. I can really start to feel sorry for myself. I can really be a martyr. And I can really get down about how things aren't going well, and I'm not, appreciated for the things I'm doing, and nobody's noticing all the things I'm doing. I'm not getting to do the things I want to do. And I can really get down, and I can lose my zeal and my spiritual fervor because I'm becoming very selfish and very self-centered. And I have found that for me, one of the best cures is to get the focus off myself and start encouraging others. That's why my life mission is equipping and encouraging others. As I start encouraging others, whether it's through the Kidology website, whether it's just on Twitter, and often those Twitter conversations turn to direct messages and it's private, whether it's by email, whether it's just on the phone calling someone that's going through a hard time because they lost their job or whatever, whether it's sending off a gift to somebody or making a personal video for someone. When I'm encouraging others, I get the focus off myself. And I've got my own problems. I've got my things that are not the way I'd like them to be. I've got the things that I wish were different or turned out different or life situations. We all have hurt. We all have pain. We all have regrets. We all have things that we if we could have written the script of our life, we would have written it differently. And we all have things that we wrestle with God about. But when we focus on those things, we're becoming self-centered. We're becoming selfish. We're arguing with God over things. And God says, you got to get this focus off of yourself, and you've got to focus on others and realize that everybody has those issues. Everybody, in a sense, is discouraged because the enemy is fighting against everyone. And when you become one of those encouragers to others, just as you wish people would do for you, it's that whole do unto others as you wish they would do unto you. So when you're sitting having your pity party, go, nobody knows what I'm going through, and nobody knows what today is on the calendar because 3 years ago, whatever happened. The other people are going through that same thing. And so become one of the people that you wish others were for you. And when you get that focus on others, you start to get a zeal because you start to become the feet of Jesus, the mouth of Jesus, the eyes of Jesus, the words of Jesus to others, encouraging others as you would like to be encouraged. And it lifts you up and it fills you up. And so Z, zero on what matters most, become an encourager of others. And then the A is, and let me tell you what it's in reaction to first. And it's in reaction to that a lot of times we lose our zeal and our spiritual fervor because we're just, frankly, way too pickin' busy. And we are just flat out exhausted. We are just physically exhausted. We're emotionally exhausted. We're spiritually exhausted. Zeal takes energy. Zeal is an outflow of energy. And if you think about someone who's a zealot, someone who's got fervor, there's some energy there. There's some happiness there. There's some excitement there. There's some creativity there. There's some passion there. And if you're just flat out tired and exhausted, you're not going to have that. And so the A is to abandon busyness. Now, you can't do it all the time. Life is busy. Life has a lot of demands. And so I would say abandon busyness periodically. All right? It's not it's impossible to completely give up busyness, right? We've got bills to be paid. We've got responsibilities. We've got work to get done. But you've got to periodically schedule in times where you step aside from the business. I remember a great story, and I believe it's true. I just don't remember the names. But when I heard it, it was told to me as though it was a true story. So I believe it's a true story. If it's fictional, it's still a great story. But the story was that there was a pastor who had gotten a great promotion to go and become a senior pastor at a really big church. And he'd never been a pastor of a like a mega church or a large church before. And so he knew that this was going to be a major change for him. And so he really wanted to seek counsel. And so he went to another pastor of a big church, successful church. It may have been even John Maxwell or someone like that. And if somebody knows the source of the story, please put it in the forum or email me. But he went to this pastor and made an appointment, and he says, "Man, I've got this promotion, not promotion, but you know, new ministry, and I need help. I need whatever advice you will give me as I launch into this new career change, new chapter." And the pastor said, "I would be more than happy to give you some advice and some counsel." So this guy got out a notepad, and he was ready to like take notes and just soak in, you know, all the wisdom and everything. And this pastor said to him, "All right, number one, ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." You got that? Okay, so the guy wrote down, "Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." Okay, number one. All right, what's next? And the pastor said, "That's it." "What do you mean, that's it?" "That's it." He said, "No, I don't understand. I'm going to be leading this huge ministry, and you know, it's just going to be so much bigger than anything I've ever done. I just need everything you can tell me about, you know, how to lead this." And he said, "That's it." He said, "You have got to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." He said, "If you're going to survive in that big ministry, that is the most important thing you've got to do. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." Now, he was discouraged because, man, he wanted like 20 things to do. But this pastor said, "Man, if you're going to be going to this big ministry, that has got to be your chief aim. You've got to ruthlessly, and it's hard work, eliminate hurry from your life. You need margin in your life because you're going to have to react to things. You're going to have to juggle things. You're going to be over so much stuff. And if you're constantly in a hurry, it's going to kill you. It's going to cripple you." And he didn't say this, but I'm saying your zeal and your spiritual fervor are going to get snuffed out. Now, I've shared this in many times and many places and throughout my blog, but when I reached a real low place in my own life and ministry, and I went full-time with Kidology because I had been in full-time pastoral ministry and full-time with Kidology, and then I became a dad literally overnight. I mean, I went to get a baby out of a crisis situation, and pow, it was, "Here, you can have him." And so I became a dad through adoption very, very quickly, without any warning, on April Fool's Day of all days. And within 6 months, my life completely fell apart, and I had to make radical changes in my life. And the first Sunday that I was not a pastor and I visited a friend's church, the sermon title was "Out of Control." And I was like, "All right, who tipped them off?" And the sermon series went through the controls of a remote, a TV remote, and it was a fantastic sermon. And in the Kidology Leadership Lab, number one, First Things First, which I highly recommend everyone listening go through, go into much more detail. Every button was a different sermon and went into depth on different things. Like the fast forward was living with vision. Well, I didn't need that. I had that button stuck. You know, we're always working on vision and going somewhere. And the rewind was dealing with the past and the troubled childhood. And I was blessed with a great childhood, so that one didn't really apply a whole lot. But the pause button was reflection, stopping to reflect. You know, how's my life right now with God? How's my marriage right now? How's my parenting right now? Excellent lesson. And I've talked about that at other times. And then the stop was the Sabbath. I'd completely been abusing the Sabbath for years, working on the Sabbath, you know, last minute prep for church. So that was very convicting. And there were other sermons, but the one that nailed me was the play button. It was the recreation, because for years I've been believing a lie that my recreation, my vocation, and my occupation were all one and the same, because children's ministry is fun. And so I said, "Man, children's ministry is fun, so it's my recreation." But the reality is ministry is draining. And ministry saps your zeal and zaps your spiritual fervor. And it wasn't my recreation, because recreation, this pastor helped me see, is something that recreates you. And he said, what would recreate you? And you need to intentionally plan something in your life that recreates you, so you can abandon busyness periodically. Well, I actually turned to my wife kind of sarcastically and said, well, the only thing that would recreate me would be a week in Yosemite hiking with nothing but worship music, you know, and my Bible. And, well, I could not get that thought out of my head. Now, we had a six-month-old baby, so I wasn't going to be heading off to Yosemite anytime soon. And but I couldn't get that thought out of my head. And to make a long story short, God would not let that thought escape. And in a couple of years, I finally took the step of faith, and I started what is now Yosemite Summit. I call it the Unconference for Children's Pastors. Now, why do I call it the Unconference? Well, because it's not a conference. I'm not the speaker at it. In fact, there is no speaker other than God. It's the Unconference because there's no workshops, just worship. No resources, just relationships. And no networking, just God working. See, I have figured out that I really don't know how to slow down. And so once a year, I come to a complete halt. And I go to Yosemite National Park, and I invite a handful of Christian men in ministry to go with me. And we completely unplug from ministry. We don't talk ministry. In fact, I fire them all from their ministry. We don't even pray about our ministries. In fact, we're just children of God, husbands and dads, if they're dads, and all we do is spend a week with God, completely abandoning business. No email, no voicemail. They don't bring their laptops. We have one computer there that's just for downloading pictures at the end of the day, but it's a complete abandonment of ministry, responsibility with ministry, just to connect with God. And I do that once a year for a complete week. And I cannot tell you how rejuvenating, refreshing, renewing, a whole bunch of rewords that is for me. And learning how critical that was to my walk with God, it actually led to me moving to Colorado. Because after a few years, and I realized what the mountains and nature and what that did to my soul, I was like, I can't have this once a year. I need to have this more often. And I ended up selling my house in a terrible economy and moving to Colorado so that I could get away with God in nature more often. You don't have to go to Yosemite, though. You can abandon busyness through in the middle of the day. You can just drop it all and go for a drive. You can go for a walk out in the parking lot. You can go out for lunch and not take the laptop or the iPad with you. You need to periodically abandon busyness for the sake of your soul. And zeal and fervor can regrow. You need to abandon that business. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life by prayer, by starting a Bible reading plan, by talking to Christ. And that is a great flow into the last one. Z was zero on what matters most. E is get the focus off yourself and put on others by encouraging others. The A is abandon busyness. And the L is love Jesus. Why are we being zealous? Why do we want spiritual fervor? Well, it's all about Christ, right? Sometimes we get so busy serving Jesus that we forget that, you know, it's really not about serving Jesus. God didn't call us to be Christians so that we could serve him. He really doesn't need us. You know, it kind of reminds me of the times that I wash my car and my son wants to help me. In fact, any kind of job around the house, my son wants to help me. You know, it's actually kind of a hindrance to the job when I have my son help me. Why do I have my son help me? It slows me down. It actually endangers the project sometimes. He could scratch the car. If I give him a tool, he could actually scratch something or put a hole in it, or could actually end up being crooked. You know, the job could get done better and faster if I just did it myself. So why do I have my son help me? Because I love my son. Because he wants to be a part of what I'm doing. The only reason I have my son help me is because of the relationship, because of the love relationship. I don't need his help. I'd be better off without his help. But I let him help me because my son wants to be a part of his father's work. He doesn't help me because I need his help. And I don't let him help me because I need him. It's the same with us, with our Heavenly Father. God doesn't have us help him because he needs our help. In fact, we actually probably hinder the job. we actually probably scratch it up and mess it up and make it worse by the way we do it. And I look at the way Christians witness and the way Christians do ministry, the way they hurt each other, the way they're ungracious, the way they're tacky, the way they misuse scripture. I think there's a lot of Christians be better off if they didn't serve God. And there's many times the way I have blown it, I thought I'd be better off if I'd never gone into ministry. And I just keep trying, and I start over, and I try and improve. God doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. Why are we in ministry? Because we have a Heavenly Father who wants to work with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. So when we get so busy that we're forgetting about the relationship, you know, that's like Luke going out and washing the car all by himself and forgetting that I wanted to wash the car with him, you know? So we need to keep in mind that God's not impressed with our work. He doesn't actually need our work. He just wants us. So if we're busy working, but we have no relationship with him, we're not reading his word just to get to know him instead of to prepare a lesson. We're not praying just to enjoy fellowship with him instead of asking him to bless this program that we're working on or bless our lesson or, you know, make problems go away, then we're missing out on the whole reason he called us into relationship with him in the first place. And it's no wonder that zeal is sapping and fervor is waning. So if we want to bring that zeal back, if we want to see that fervor grow, we've got to zero in what matters most. We've got to get the focus off ourselves and encourage others. We've got to abandon some busyness and carve out some time to love Jesus. And if we do that, we'll never be lacking in zeal, but we'll keep our spiritual fervor as we serve the Lord. And if we do that, I think we will find that we'll have a God feeling and a God night and a God day with him. I don't know. I just got a feeling. I don't know. Do you? Well, I got a feeling that if we will zero in on what matters, focus on encouraging others, abandon busyness, and get back to loving Jesus, our zeal will increase, as will our spiritual fervor. I do.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a God night. That tonight's gonna be a God night. That tonight's gonna be a praise God night. Feeling that tonight's gonna be a God night. That tonight's gonna be a God night. That tonight's gonna be a praise God night. Feeling.
And not just tonight,
that
tomorrow morning.
Gonna be a God night. That tonight's gonna be a God night. That tonight's gonna be a praise God night. Feeling.
And tomorrow.
That tonight's gonna be a God night.
That's
that
right.
Tonight's gonna be,
it's
a
gonna be a God night.
That tonight's gonna, woo-hoo, be a praise God night.
Sing it.
Tonight's the night. Let's lift him up.
Lift him up.
We're praising Jesus.
That's right.
Don't interrupt.
Oops, sorry.
Say hallelujah.
I guess I interrupted.
Unto our God. Get off your sofa. Give him your all.
I know that we'll have a ball if we praise him and serve him and give him our all.
Lord, fill my cup, fill it up. Our worship service is taking off. Devil's a clown, let's shut him down. Let's lift our hands,
and then we'll do it again.
Let's praise him, let's praise him, let's praise him, praise him, and praise him, and praise him, and lift him up. Praise him, and praise him.
If your zeal is down, I got four simple suggestions for you. You've got to zero in on what matters most. You've got to start encouraging others. Get the focus off yourself. You've got to ruthlessly eliminate busyness from your life. Whatever it takes, it's going to take some tough decisions. And you've got to get back to loving Jesus, not your ministry. God is not impressed with what you're doing for Him. He just wants you. When's the last time you had some great time with Jesus? If you can't remember, get back to Him.
Unto our God, get off your sofa,
come on,
give Him your all, Lord, fill my cup,
Lord,
fill it up, our
worship service,
is taking off, devil's a clown,
let's shut him down,
let's lift our hands,
whoa,
and then we'll do it again.
When's the last time you shut down your ministry in order to spend some time with the Lord? See, the devil's trying to shut you down. It's time for you to shut him down. Zeal is a choice. Well, I got some great news for you. I am going to be abandoning busyness in the month of May. Not only am I going to Yosemite Summit, but I am going to be taking a break from Kidman Talk. But I don't want Kidman Talk to take a break from you. So I have invited 4 guest hosts to come and do Kidman Talk for me. They are 4 fantastic friends of mine, and they have planned some great guest programs that they're going to be bringing. You can try and guess who they are. Instead of guessing a Kidman keyword, you can try and guess who the hosts are, and you can win some great prizes. But they're going to be coming for the next 4 weeks, for the rest of the month of May, and they are going to be hosting Kidman Talk. And if you guess who they are, you'll win a prize. If you don't guess right, hey, you'll just be making some great suggestions. So I can't wait to see who you guess, and I hope that you're going to really enjoy them. Hey, before we go, I want to tell you about our great sponsor for today on Kidman Talk. And if you are still listening, which I certainly hope that you are, and if you're not, well, then why am I even talking to you? Because you're not listening. Hey, if you have not noticed, every month on Kidology, we are giving away some awesome resources to our premium members just to add more value to your membership on Kidology. And this month, you're not going to believe this, but we are giving away an entire Vacation Bible School for $1. That's right. If you are a Kidology member, you can buy an entire $99 Vacation Bible School for $1. All right. Where else can you get an entire Vacation Bible School for $1? And this is an awesome Vacation Bible School because it comes from Truth Quest, all right, written by Michael Martin and his wife, and they create some amazing Vacation Bible Schools. I mean, this has a director's guidebook, it has drama kits, it has teacher's director's guides, it has Bible story lesson kits and application lesson kits and send-home papers and adult and teen lesson kits, music, audio, crafts and snacks and games and age group leader guides and admissions kits and registration and scorings and decorations and advertising and a discipleship booklet and gospel tracts and clip art library and t-shirt artwork and flyers. I mean, it's got the whole ball of wax. It's an awesome theme. It's a race car theme, and it's amazing. You just go to Kidology. You'll see the banner ads there. It is just amazing. For $1, you can get an entire Vacation Bible School. It's just our way of saying thank you for supporting Kidology. As you know, we're a nonprofit ministry dedicated to equipping and encouraging those in children's ministry. We do a lot of charitable things with our money to support those on the mission field, to support small ministries, to support students, to support other nonprofits that are involved in equipping and encouraging children's ministers who are aligned with our mission. And we're constantly giving and supporting those that are going on mission trips through the Kidology Foundation. We work in partnership with other organizations like MRI, Ministry Resources International. And so we just want to thank those who support us by doing things like this. So, man, you've just got to check it out. We also just wanted to make sure you are aware of Truth Quest. Their website is truthquest.net. In the show notes, I link to all their products that we carry on Kidology, and there is a plethora of them. Solid biblical resources, teaching kids about truth, teaching them the Bible. I've known Michael for a long time. He's a Denver native, and you've just got to familiarize yourself with Truth Quest if you aren't already. He is someone who has zeal and has spiritual fervor and is serving the Lord, and his ministry is worthy of your support. And the best way to support a ministry like his is by utilizing his resources. Your kids will be thankful if you do. Well, thanks again for joining me here on Kidman Talk. This is Carl Bastian, a.k.a. The Kidologist. And as always, you can reach me through Twitter, through email, through the forum. And while I won't be hosting Kidman Talk for the next 4 weeks because of our awesome guests who I just want to share with you so you can enjoy their wisdom and their insights and bring some variety to the show, I will be interacting in the forum and still be around. So I'll be engaged, and I can't wait to hear your guesses or suggestions on who you think the host should be. Now, I've already selected these four, and I've already listened to some of their podcasts that have been pre-recorded, and they are great, and you're going to enjoy them. So be posting who you think they'll be. You could be a winner, or we may use your suggestions in the future. And until next time, this is Carl.